Yeah.
So what is the purpose of fear? Is it just opposition that we're supposed to overcome?
It's not so much that fear has a purpose, it just is.
Yeah.
When in, it's just like cause and effect. Cause and effect is eternal. It just, there's certain things that just are and will always be. Will always be a certain, maybe the higher lives have fear in a different way than we have fear, but they have some correspondence of it. And the same thing with a fly. You see a fly there and you start to flick it, and it's immediately terrified and takes off. Okay, so they, some representation of fear is on all levels, as well as love. But we have the choice to master or pursue the various directions. Yeah.
The Jews feared Jesus because they were ignorant.
Right.
So fear is ignorance.
And you fear the unknown. And Jesus came, and you fear change. We talked about change. And the interesting thing about change is that once you get kind of in a rut and life gets a little comfortable and somebody comes along and indicates that you need to change, well, you want them out of the way. You may fear them. And this is what happened to Jesus. Jesus represented change. And they kept accusing him, "You want to change our law?" "No, I'm not trying to change your law, just trying to fulfill your law." He was trying to pacify him, but it didn't work. And they sensed that Jesus represented tremendous change, and so they feared that, and they fought it. Yeah.
I think that the balance to the fear and trepidation of doing something, maybe that's what we were talking about yesterday, that's why there's glory and affirmation, mm-hmm. that it's okay, you're doing what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're... Yay, you know, that cheering on, that affirmation of what you're doing is correct, even at God's level.
Mm-hmm.
He needed that, like you said, he was kind of nervous about developing this universe.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where what we were talking about yesterday, that balances that fear and brings forth the affirmations.
Yeah. So, yeah, God is... God needs the same things that we need, just more of it, you could say. And remember, we are in His image, so if we want to understand God, we seek to understand ourselves, and it will help us to understand the mind of God. We need glory, we need affirmation, but the way that we get it is not to seek the glory, but to seek to accomplish a great work, knowing that if we do accomplish a great work, glory will follow. But when you don't seek the glory, and you just seek to do a great work, glory will follow, and it will give a person a sense of joy. But you don't find joy or happiness by seeking to just grab it. You know, it's like seeking to get those flecks of light in a sunbeam. You try to grab them, you can't grab it. That's like it is trying to grab happiness. Okay, any other questions?
I'm currently LDS. Should I state my warden position? are there any correlations or similarities between the Jews and the Mormons?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Can we learn anything?
Okay, one of the most obvious correlations, they both have a Dead Sea.
A Dead Sea?
Yeah. The Salt Lake is a Dead Sea. Yeah. And they both are in kind of a desert area, accompanied by a Dead Sea. That's a fantastic correlation right there when you think about it. Salt Lake is a completely Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is a Dead Sea. Both of them have a lot of minerals in. There's also a correlation in the fact that the Jews were a little bit above average for their intellectual thought about religion, and the Mormons are a little bit above average in their intellectual thought about religion. And the Jews were very strict about all kinds of things, like the Sabbath day and obeying the laws and everything like that. And the Mormons are very strict about obeying the laws. They're not into being saved by grace and then you can go do whatever you want. No, they say, you know, you have to obey the laws and do what is right and obey the prophet, and then you might get a big toe in the celestial kingdom. I believe that a lot of the Mormons today are reincarnated from the ancient Jews. So that's another reason the correlation is so great. But when you examine the situation, it's quite a bit the same. And the Mormons have prophets. A lot of people who claim to be prophets come and go. A lot of people claim to be the one mighty and strong who's showing up in Salt Lake and calling people to repentance. And a lot of them are farther astray than the Mormons themselves. So, but that was the same thing in ancient Jerusalem along the time of Christ. There were a lot of people claiming to be the one mighty and strong who was supposed to be the Christ at that time. A lot of people claiming to be the Messiah were showing up and trying to convert the Jews, and the Jewish authorities were excommunicating them and anybody that believed in them. And so the correlations are very, very interesting. But among the Jews, eventually a couple did come that did represent light. A lot of them came that were farther astray than the authorities were. But then we had John the Baptist come, and we had Jesus come. And they represented true light, and they were rejected. And do you think the authorities today would accept or reject a true light that came to them?
Reject.
Right. But they're no different than the other religions. Every religion will reject the true lights that come to them. And it's just automatic, because people get established in authority and they don't want to be challenged. You challenge any authority, because outward authority is a mark of the beast. You challenge the beast will come after you with as much legal authority as he can muster. If we didn't have the protection of our laws in this country, the beast would come after us and burn us at the stake or do something, throw us in jail or whatever, just like they did in the days of Jesus. They had power to, the beast had the power to pretty much crucify anybody that got in their way. So we were fortunate in this age. And this gives us a unique opportunity in this age to actually establish Zion, because we have some protection from the law. But a lot of people are discounting the laws or breaking the laws. Even Congress is breaking the laws. The president is breaking laws today. So if our legal system breaks down, it could break down our protection. So this is why it's so important for us to sustain the laws that are constitutional, even laws we don't agree with, because to some extent, because the whole system needs to remain in play until Zion be established. Yeah.
It's two questions in a row. I don't understand why the beast has been given so much power in this world to even like this attempt to kill Hitler, for instance, that he was so well protected, even though the Brotherhood of Light really went for this project to get him off the way.
Well, not so much the beast is given power, it's the fact that we give the beast power. The beast has no more power than you and I give him, because we give the power to the beast. He has tremendous power. And as long as we have free will, each person has the free will to give power to the beast. And you talk to almost every individual, about 99% of individuals you talk to are happy to give the beast power in one way or another. The religious people, the beast is represented even in the Bible. You know, the Bible says this, and so that's it. They may read it entirely wrong, but they interpret it as something that has to be done. That's the mark of the beast, rather than go within and figure out what really makes sense. If it says, you know, gays are to be put to death, well we should put those gays to death. But the Bible can represent the beast. The minister can represent the beast. The prophet can represent the beast. Your president can represent the beast. Your doctor can represent the beast. How many people go to a doctor and says, well, you need to do this? It's like Dan represented, told me a story yesterday. He had this tumor. And he went to a doctor and says, yeah, we need to cut it out. But the trouble is you're going to have lose use of your arm. Your arm will be basically paralyzed when the time we get done. Dan says, well, I don't want that. He says, well, there's no way around it. There's just, you need to do that. Something in Dan said that something else could be done. So he says, well, can't you just cut around that and then not cut everything out? And he says, no, we can't. He says, well, I think you can, doctor. Yeah. So he had this big argument with the doctor. So he fired that doctor, goes to another doctor, and says, yeah, we can work around that. You know, it's a little bit of danger, but you'll still keep the use of your arm. So Dan says, okay, I'm going to go with that. Now, if Dan was subject to the beast, he would have went along with that first doctor. Well, if he said it has to be, well, you're the doctor. You know, okay? Well, that's being subject to the beast. Dan felt within there was another way. You know, there's got to be another way. So he fired his first doctor, goes to another one, and he found another way.